What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And as we are every Friday, we are joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio for the first hour of the show, talking all things Smashville as they returned to Bridgestone Arena last night, a shootout win over the New York Islanders. Max, how's it going?
What's up, Jake? It was good to be back home. It really felt like a long time, and I know the fans felt it too. So, yeah, awesome crowd last night. First of four home games in six days, so we got three more of them coming up.
Yes, back-to-back over the weekend against Chicago and Washington, and then Tuesday against Edmonton to wrap up the homestand. I'm sure it did feel like a while. Seven straight games on the road, but a six-game road trip. The Preds were able to get four wins out of those seven games. Come back home last night, and luckily, I got home just in time to watch overtime in the shootout. Got back from Vandy. Women's team won again, 99-68 over Missouri. Got back just in time to watch the end of that game. And, man, Max, that was a fun one last night. You mentioned the crowd. You could hear it through the broadcast, how loud it was in Bridgestone Arena last night. And what a way to end the game. UC Saros was absolutely sensational last night, especially in overtime and in the shootout to help the Preds get that bonus point.
Yeah, we're getting used to it again, right? Like, it feels normal for Saros to be really, really good every game, and it's the anomaly when he's not. And that's how you got to win. If you're the Preds, that's how you got to win. And that's why he got an eight-year extension. And you see it with some of these other teams that the Preds play. They don't have the goalie, and there are teams that have everything other than the goalie, and they're still looking for the goalie. So the Preds are really fortunate to have that, and last night, Saros was the biggest reason why they won the game. He was the reason why they won the shootout again. Forsberg, a sick goal. Stamkos hit the crossbar. Saros had one where he came across, didn't make the save, but had the puck at the post, and two big stops, and the Preds still haven't lost a shootout in 3 years, and Saros has been in goal for the majority of those. So it was a great win on home ice, and first game back from a long road trip. Stereotypically in the NHL is really, really hard, especially with the travel that the Preds had. They didn't get back till pretty much early evening on Wednesday, so it was kind of show and go on Thursday. Not all of the players had skated since they got back. They've been prioritizing rest. They haven't been having full morning skates, and it's been working, so they stuck with that. But that's not an easy game to win. First game back from a long road trip, a team that's playing really well on the other side with some young talent and some speed, that's coming off a 9-0 shutout win in their last game. And the Islanders are starting a road trip even longer than the one the Preds had. That was the first of seven in a row for the Islanders. So they wanted to set the tone for that trip. And they're an interesting team. I feel like every time I see the Islanders, I always have to think twice about what they are. But they're really the same group every time you see them. They're Anders Lee, they're Matt Barzal, they're Casey Cizikas. Like, they are the Islanders. They are Patrick Waugh's team. And just like in May 2003, Andrew Brunette still owns Patrick Waugh, at least this time again. So,
I mean, it was fun to watch. I got to listen to a little bit of the third period on the way home and then finally tuned in for overtime. And we always say it with overtime, when you lose that opening faceoff, it can be really tough to stay alive, and the Preds did. The Islanders controlled for a while, and UC Soros stood on his head a couple of times late in overtime. Matthew Schaefer got basically just him on Soros and a nice blocker save from UC. Preds got some good chances there too. I thought it was a great job by Stamkos and Yossi and O'Reilly out there on that first shift. Yossi had a nice little chance there in overtime that could have won it, but we saw both goaltenders last night really play well, especially in that overtime period.
The interesting development in overtime to me that happened again last night is that there's just no whistles because the goalies aren't going to freeze the puck. There isn't usually going to be an offside. So there were no whistles in that overtime last night. And the Preds only had three shifts by defensemen in OT. Roman Yossi played the first half. Nick Blankenberg played the next minute and a half. Then Yossi came back for the final minute. So the big play to me was the save on Matthew Schaefer. And the Islanders last weekend on Saturday night, Schaefer scored an overtime goal on basically the exact same setup against the Maple Leafs, who were his hometown team. It was on Hockey Night in Canada. It was a huge play and one of the big highlights. I mean, it's the biggest highlight for him in his NHL career so far in 44 games. And they pulled the exact same thing again, and he was wide open. And I don't know if UC Soros' mind flashes back to any scout they did of that play, because I guarantee you that was part of the scout on Schaefer's shooting, location, and tendencies, things like that, or if it was just instincts. But he got him with the blocker, and that would have been a tough one to lose, because when the Preds were losing in overtime early in the season, it was in the final 15 seconds of OT.
Right.
And that would have been another one. But they've won three straight and three on three since then. They haven't lost an overtime game since starting 0-4 in OT in this year. And now they are 3-0 in shootouts this season, 8-0 in shootouts over the last three seasons, which is just insane to think about. The last time the Preds lost a shootout, John Hines was the coach of the team. So they remain very good at this. And I mean, it's not because they practice it all the time, but it's because UC Soros is a great goalie, and Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos, and Philip Forsberg are great shootout takers.
It's crazy stuff that they have not lost a shootout in 3 years. And you did mention the crowd last night. I thought that was important, too. This team has been playing so much better over the last month. And you go on that road trip, and I think there's a little bit of worry in the back of your mind of, are they going to be able to sustain this being away from home for 2 weeks, playing six, seven straight games on the road? And they do. They play well on the road and come back. I think it was really great to see Smashville show out for this team last night. And I'm expecting we're going to get another pretty raucous crowd on Saturday when Chicago comes to town.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andrew Brunette said at Morning Skate in his press conference, he had a quote I liked, which was, "This is the last game of the road trip. We need to play this like a road game." But to play it that way and have the fans on your side, I think really made a difference. And there was a lot going on last night. The Preds are having their scouting meetings this week going into the spring season, which is trade deadline, getting ready for the draft, things like that, coming off the World Juniors. And the most recognizable member of the folks in those meetings is Pecorine, who UC Soros wanted to show out for. The Swiss Olympic coaches were at the game last night. They're touring around some NHL cities right now. So they were talking to the guy who's going to be their captain, Roman Yossi. So Yossi wanted to play well for them last night. And then also celebrating Steven Stamkos' 600th goal. His sons, Chase and Carter, very adorably read the starting lineup and came out and stood on the blue line with him for the anthem with 600 Stamkos jerseys on. So a lot of guys, like, this is what we're good at here, making every game an event. And like, even for the players, there was a lot going on. So it's like the reminder of this is what being back on home ice is, and the ability to bank points here this week in an interesting homestand. Like, the Blackhawks are definitely a winnable game, obviously, with where they're at right now. The Capitals on Sunday will be interesting because they're not as good as they were last year. They still have Ovechkin. It'll be our first look at rookie Ryan Leonard. And also, they are not going to be on a back-to-back in that game, and the Preds will be. The Blackhawks are playing the Capitals tonight, so it's a little round-robin between those three teams over the next 3 days. And then Tuesday, the Oilers. And obviously, we saw what Connor McDavid just did to the Preds in Edmonton on Tuesday with an easy hat trick. And Tuesday night is Connor McDavid's birthday. So that gets me a little worried about how much he's going to do in that game. But it's an interesting homestand, and on home ice, the way the Preds are playing right now, every single game is winnable.
Yeah, and you said last night was the night that the Preds honored Steven Stamkos for his 600th goal. It was a fitting end to the game that UC Saros' save was the one to seal it, but I was really hoping when Stamkos stepped up with the chance to win it that he would bury one. He rang the post, but again, fitting with the way UC Saros played that he had the final nail in the coffin, but would have been cool to see Steven Stamkos get the deciding goal on the night that he was honored for his 600th goal.
Yeah, and I actually think it's pretty okay symbolically, because the last few weeks, the last month plus, the Preds have been winners just because Stamkos has been there, even right when he hasn't scored. And look, he blocked a shot in the game against the Flames at the death on Saturday night. The roles were reversed. Nick Hague scored the winning goal in the final minute, the guy who usually blocks shots, and Steven Stamkos blocked the game-winning shot, the guy who usually scores the big goals. So that was like a big example of how this team is winning right now. And I mean, Stamkos got hurt by that. He didn't practice on Monday. He was questionable to play on Tuesday, but hasn't missed a game. He's played through it. So like that's your guy. That's one of your leaders. And it only makes the team step it up another notch, which they already were for him.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Any questions for Max about the Preds? Max is with us for the full first hour of the show today. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We are off and running on this Friday. When we come back, the Preds coming off that road trip. What are the overall impressions from that long trip out west? Go 3-3 on the six-game trip, 4-3 if you include the game against Minnesota. The Preds sitting just 2 points back of the final wild card spot. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football playoffs. Tonight at 6:30 on 1025 The Game, it's the number 5 Oregon Ducks taking on number 1 Indiana in the Peach Bowl. The college football playoff coverage on 1025 The Game is presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, Max Herz from Preds Radio is with us for the full first hour of the show here on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Max coming back from that 7-game road trip, 6 games in a row, but 7 straight road games for the Preds. What were some of the overall impressions? That is not an easy stretch, longest road trip of the year for Nashville, and still able to go 500 on those 6 straight. And if you include the Minnesota game, 4-3 overall, not too shabby from Nashville away from home.
I would say my headline, Jake, is that Fedor Svechkov rode a roller coaster for the first time. Is that what you're asking about?
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to know.
Yeah, I'm actually really sad about it because so in Las Vegas, there is one of the casinos has a roller coaster that's half inside, half outside, and it's right next to the arena.
I believe I've ridden it before. It's New York that has that one, right?
I've walked past it, and it never seems to be running when I'm there. But anyway, we were back at the hotel after a practice, and Fedor Svechkov was with Brandon Walker, who some Preds fans will know. His job is the director of team services, which means he's in charge of basically everything, travel and everything else that involves our players and team. And the two of them got off the elevator together and asked me if I wanted to ride the roller coaster with them. And I wasn't sure if they were serious, so I didn't go. And that was a big mistake because they went and I didn't get to go. And it was Fedor Svechkov's first time on a roller coaster.
Wow. That is, I mean, great experience too. And, you know, it's in Las Vegas, which is great. I guess it wasn't on New Year's Eve. It must have been the day before. But great stuff from Fedor Svechkov. I guess maybe they don't, he isn't accustomed to going places with roller coasters. To not have ridden one at what? He's early 20s? It seems a little bit late.
Yeah, he also spent the entire summer in Miami, so like Disney is in play.
Right, that's true. It's only a short trip up there to Orlando.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm sad I didn't get to go, but they drew me a picture of them going on the roller coaster without me and cheering that I wasn't there. So that's a good memento, at least, even though I didn't get the ride.
I love it. And, not too bad of a place to spend New Year's Eve. Did you guys travel on New Year's Eve up to Seattle?
We did. We inched our way from Las Vegas to Seattle.
Gotcha. Right, because I guess that was a back-to-back on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, so you would have had to travel, not going to go up there day of. Something that stood out to me, Max, and I heard Barry Trotz talk about this on his appearance with DVD earlier this week, is that the Preds found a way to keep going behind early. Gave up an early goal to fall behind 1-0 in the first 10 minutes of every single game on that 7-game road trip, and still found a way to win 4. I know maybe that's not sustainable to fall behind early in every game, but it was nice to see the fight back after giving up the early goal in every one of those games.
Yeah, it's after last night, it's 7 in a row now that they've given up the first goal, right, and they've won more than half of those. So it's definitely not how you want to do it, but it shows that the team is capable of it, which earlier in the year we weren't seeing, and they really do need to get that cleaned up. And a lot of them were power play goals against, which was interesting because they would give up an early power play goal, sometimes very easily in those road games. And then from there, the PK would lock it down and have incredible late game kills, which we've grown accustomed to. So it is interesting. I'm not sure what adjustments need to be made there, whether it's tactically or just mental. But yeah, that is not sustainable if they want to keep winning, that's for sure.
Right, but still impressive to see that this team on the road was able to fall behind as much as they did and still find ways to win, going 4-3 over those 7 straight games away from Nashville. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Nick Hague. He was a big addition in the offseason, probably the most important addition they made this offseason, was injured early in the year, but has been back for a while now. What have you seen from him? Big defenseman out there. He made his return to Vegas, and I know that was a special moment for him on New Year's Eve. And then he got the big goal in the final 30 seconds against Calgary to get the Preds the win last weekend.
Yeah, this is the type of thing that Andrew Brunette has really good feel for, is the mental state of his guys. And he pointed out towards the end of the trip that going through Las Vegas and returning to the place where Hague played 6 seasons, won a Stanley Cup, was part of their first draft class, was really one of their first homegrown guys. That is what really is the final step of settling in on a new team. And maybe if he hadn't gotten hurt in the second period of preseason, he could have settled in sooner. But to be coming back on the fly from an injury, to be a defenseman on a new team, going through a day like that and getting the ovation and getting the love, and Las Vegas has done a really good job with that for both Marchessault and Hague now as they've returned with the Preds. That was kind of the last step for him in Andrew Brunette's eyes of, hey, I'm a Pred now. And the one thing he's done, even when he was still getting reacquainted from his injury, was he was protecting guys out there. And this last week, we've seen it twice over. I mean, the melee in Calgary Saturday night, Hague was the one who put that to bed. He sent Johnny Beecher to the showers, and he just completely turned the whole thing back in the Preds' favor in a situation where the Preds had gotten sucker punched in the face. Like, they got pushed around, and they were on the wrong side of some of that. And then Hague completely turned it around with a fight that swung the game in the Preds' favor. He scores the go-ahead goal with 30 seconds to go on his signature move, the slapper through traffic from the point. And that's what he brings offensively, and you want a few goals from him. And if they come in big spots, that's amazing, and that's one of the biggest goals of the season for the Preds. And then last night against the Islanders, Anders Lee just trucks UC Saros, and Hague is one of the guys who is all over him immediately. So, look, I think Hague has held up that end of the bargain very, very well. He's had some nights where he's been good on D. He's protected the net front, which is his main job. I think they're still looking for a little bit more, but I think Bruno pointed it out the right way, that as you go through that for the last time, he's seen Hague snap into full form. And I think the argument is there that over this winning stretch, him and Nick Blankenberg have been the Predators' most consistent D pair.
Yeah, and clearly going to be important for the Predators moving forward that he continues to take strides on the blue line. I mean, that when you look at the offseason this year, the big moves they made were on those D pairs, bringing in Nick Hague, bringing in Nick Perbix. So good to see him starting to step up more. Let's talk Roman Josi as well, the captain for the Preds. Maybe not producing quite as much as some fans may like. I know he was injured for a decent portion of December and late November. What have you seen from Roman Josi I mean, watching last night, at least in overtime, I thought he was going to win it at the very end there. Maybe like a minute and a half left when he flew off the bench and brought it into the zone. What have you seen from your Roman Josi, the captain, as he has readjusted since returning from injury?
Yeah, it's been a similar process to Haig, but when he has the puck on his stick and room to move, time and space, like he did in overtime last night, he's his old self. So I think we're only going to see Josi get better as long as he can stay healthy the second half of this season. I think the Olympics will be huge for him. And as I've said with you before, Jake, like if Switzerland can play well, Josi could be the face of men's hockey at the Olympics.
Yeah. No, you did say that last week, and I think that's a very good point of if the Swiss get through into the medal rounds, I know they're in a group with Canada, but like Roman Josi is going to be a big reason why that team has success if they are to at least win a couple of games in their group.
Yeah, and like they have a good team. They have a really good team. They have 10 or 11 quality NHL players and then some guys who have played on the national team a ton. Like they're well coached. It's guys who have played together for years. It's guys who know each other. So I think that's a team that really could pull off a surprise win or two.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about the Olympians coming up here in the next segment. The Preds with four Olympians. We did touch on this last week with Max, but the Olympics are coming up quick, and we will talk about it. Roman Josi on the Swiss team, UC Saros and Erik Halla are on the Finnish team, and Philip Forsberg on the Swedish team. We will talk about all of them coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, if you have any questions for Max Herz, he is with us until 10 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you. You can get those in on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Plenty more to come with Max Herz. Again, going to talk the Olympics, and we're going to talk about the homestand continuing starting tomorrow. The Preds with a back-to-back over the weekend. The Blackhawks tomorrow, Washington on Sunday. They will finish up the homestand against Edmonton on Tuesday. Jake Lyman joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio. Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio for the full first hour of the show. We've got Max till 10 talking all things Preds. The Preds back from their 7-game road trip, winning 4 out of 7 straight road games, and a win last night in a shootout against the Islanders. Preds with a back-to-back coming up this weekend. Chicago tomorrow, Washington on Sunday. Max, let's talk Olympics. The Preds have four Olympians. We talked a little bit about them last week, but really cool for the Predators. Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, UC Saros, maybe the three that you would expect most likely to be Olympians, but also Erik Halla. And I thought it was cool hearing Halla's story of being told on Christmas Day that he was going to make the Finnish team. Really cool stuff to see these four Preds Olympians, and going to be fun cheering them on as they're out there in Italy.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. People really latched onto that Halla story, that he got the call from Antti Pennanen, the Finnish Olympic coach, while his kids were getting ready to open presents on Christmas morning. And he was really nervous. He's like, can I answer this right now? And then afterward, he thought, well, he probably wouldn't have called me on Christmas morning to tell me I wasn't making the team.
Right.
So I thought that was really funny. And then we found out a couple days later in another interview that so Saros, every team announced 6 players in the summer.
Yep.
Just to kind of get the hype going. And it's really everybody's 6 best players, and many of them included a goalie. So Finland, no doubt, Saros is their number one. So he was one of the first 6. And I asked him, I mean, you found out early. How did you find out so early that you were part of the first 6? And he said, my wife had gotten me a 30th birthday present of tickets for the French Open final at Roland Garros. And he said he got a text from the coach, Coach Pennanen, during the Alcaraz Sinner match, sitting at Roland Garros, that he was going to the Olympics.
That's awesome. I mean, what a moment to get that text for UC Saros. I'm sure maybe he couldn't enjoy it quite as much, but also I doubt that UC Saros was all that concerned whether he was going to make the Olympic roster. I think that one felt like a foregone conclusion for him.
Yeah, I think he was pretty safe, but like, I don't know, to be sitting as a spectator at one of the premier sporting events in the world in an incredible city in Europe,
right,
to be told that you are going to the premier sporting event in the world in another incredible city in Europe while you watch two world-class athletes go at it. It was a five-set tiebreak win for Alcaraz. Like, I don't know how many major finals have Alcaraz and Sinner played in a row. Like, it's the new Federer and Nadal. So,
right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the Olympics are just a month away. Preds fans going to have the opportunity to cheer on some of their stars over there in Milan. So going to be a great month. And again, that's coming up in early February. Couple other things with the Preds. And again, if you want to get questions in for Max, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I'm glad you reminded me of this during the break, Max. Justus Onanen signing an extension last week. Big Juice, as they call him, recently. Signed on an extension. Why do you think now was the right timing to keep him around? And how do you think the Preds will look continuing to have this pairing of Little Juice and Big Juice, Juicy Soros and Justus Onanen moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a pairing that works, so there's no reason to mess with it. Onanen understands that Soros is going to start 60 to 65 games a year, and he can live with that, but also he wants to keep improving and eventually make himself into a starter by the time that that contract ends, when he'll be going into his age 28 season. So it was very fair value-wise. With how the cap has gone up, $1.25 million a year is a really fair rate for a backup goalie that you know you trust, who you're not ever going to have to replace. So I think it was, yeah, to be honest with you, I think the term was even better from the team perspective than the player perspective, but it was one that both sides were happy with. I think it was a pretty easy contract to get done. Preds are happy that they've got their goaltending set for the next couple of years in a position that has been the point of stability for the Preds in their entire franchise history. I think it's really important for Juuse Saros to have a backup goalie mate who he's close with. It's obviously been great when they've had two Finns, and I think that's something that Saros really likes, so that matters as well. And look, there's a chance that Onanen keeps growing and ends up being a guy who plays more games for the Preds. So there's upside with him that the Preds like. They want to continue to coach him with their goaltending coaches. And my favorite parts of this were, first, that Onanen got a solo lap after practice right before the deal became public earlier this week, and the entire team was screaming at him for going too slow. And he reminded everyone that he's a goalie, so he can't go too fast. But Brooks Bratton asked him in our little media scrum after the contract came out, "What's your favorite thing about being in a goalie duo with Juuse Saros?" And he just said, "BSing in Finnish." So I thought that was really funny. And then he just stopped talking.
That is something that is underrated, right? In hockey, you could say the same thing with baseball, I guess, that there are a whole lot of different cultures, countries, languages that are represented in these locker rooms. And to have that goalie room be two Finnish guys, I'm sure that is helpful for both of them as they're going about their business, you know, when it talks to talking about playing the game, but also just being friends and having somebody who you can relate to who grew up in a very similar fashion to you.
Yeah, and look, Saros is the franchise, so if you can do things tangibly or intangibly to keep him happy that you think affect his game positively, you do them. And I think this is an example of that.
Yes, and the Preds set at goalie for at least the foreseeable future with Juuse Saros and Justus Onanen both locked up. Onanen signing that three-year extension last week. A couple other things, Max. You also mentioned Matthew Wood. We've talked about him a ton when you've been on, about the hot start that he had early on in the season once he got healthy. Come back to earth a little bit. What's been the thought process with Matthew Wood? I know he was a healthy scratch a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, so since Wood made his season debut, he played 33 games in a row, which is a lot.
Right.
And he was a healthy scratch on Saturday in Calgary and Tuesday in Edmonton. And he was back in the lineup last night. Thought Andrew Brunette pointed out his line post-game, and his line pretty consistently during this winning stretch has been Wood on the right wing with Fedor Svechkov at center. So two young guys, and then Tyson Jost on the left wing, who really is playing the exact same role that Mark Jankowski did last year. He's the stabilizing force with the young guys. He's the second center. He's the defensive responsibility guy. Is his game perfect? No, he took a bad penalty last night, but he is what they were hoping for in terms of a 13th forward who can do anything at any spot in the lineup. And he's been good for Svechkov and Wood. So they've made sure that Wood has been in a situation where responsibility comes first. And I think that part of it, even though he doesn't have a goal in his last 13 games and doesn't even have a point in his last 11 games, I think he's still doing what he needs to do to prove that he's an NHLer. And I think the goal scoring will come back. And the reason they scratched him is just to give him a step back. And he's a college player. He's a first-year pro. And the last 3 years, he's really only played 2 games a week on the college schedule. So I think with the end of the long road trip, they wanted to give him a few days down. They put him right back in there last night. I assume they will continue to do that. Like, Justin Barron is in play here, and part of the reason that they were able to take Wood out is because Justin Barron hadn't played in 20 games, and they want him to play too, because if a defenseman gets hurt, Barron is going in, and he's going to have to play big minutes. So, I mean, you can't just drop these guys right back in not having played. So it's a bit of a juggling act to keep everybody fresh. Like, you don't want anybody to get too tired. You don't want anybody who's not playing to get too stale. So, I mean, that's the challenge of coaching hockey is you got to figure out who's going and who isn't and who you're going to need. As I said last week, Wood is in no danger of being sent down to the AHL or anything like that, but they want to make sure they manage him the right way. And he's such a mature player. He's a coach's son. He understands how this works. And I think he's very sure of his own abilities. And I don't think you've seen his game deviate, even though he hasn't scored a goal in a month.
Yeah, I think you see it across all of sports that sometimes a guy hits the rookie wall a little bit. You get off to a hot start and guys make adjustments to your game and you've got to be able to make the adjustments back. But definitely Matt Wood is a crucial piece of the future for this Preds team. I wanted to ask you also, saw on your Twitter yesterday, that Ozzie Weisblatt was back on the ice in a non-contact jersey for morning skate, but good to see him at least starting to work his way back after he was injured last month.
Yeah, honestly, like, there's a chance that Weisblatt didn't even tell the coaches he was skating. He just went out there, which is not what I think happened, but, like, seeing how he acts while he is out injured just reaffirms how much of a rink rat he is. He's been on the bench for every Preds practice at Bridgestone Arena when he's been hurt, which is not common for injured players. And we were in St. Louis for the first game out of Christmas. Weisblatt wasn't going to play on the trip. He was there. He was just walking around in the locker room in a hoodie. I'm like, how is Ozzie here? He wasn't even, like, traveling with the team, and there he was. So he is such a good teammate. And it shows in the way he plays too, but yeah, that's a good sign. I don't think we should expect him back before the Olympic break based on the timeline they initially gave when he got hurt. But great to see him out there for optional morning skate yesterday. He was out there late with Barron and Onanen for the scratches skate. And he looks solid. I mean, he's coming back from, an injury that could slow him a little bit in terms of puck play. But he's been on the ice presumably by himself while the Preds were away. He's now missed 16 games and probably going to miss at least 10 more if he's out till the Olympics. So it's going to be a big chunk of time for him to miss. But the fact that there will be a week plus of ramp-up practices on the back end of the Olympics will help him reintegrate himself into the lineup if he comes back on a scheduled timeline. Because while the guys who are at the Olympics go to the Olympics, the players who are not in the Olympics will get the same amount of time away as the normal bye week is. So they'll get a week off. And then basically the second half of the Olympic break, every player who's not in the Olympics will be here practicing. And there'll be, like, we have a radio show. We have a Smashville Live during that. We have the Nash Vegas Casino Night during that. So the majority of the team will be together for the Olympics, and everybody will kind of be getting back into it together. So that'll help Ozzie, who it was great to see. Marchessault did not skate yesterday. He's missed 10 games in a row, so not really sure of his status as they try to kind of reset his injury timeline, which Barry Trotz talked about earlier this week. So not really sure what's going on with him, but good to see Weisblatt. Those are the two guys who are out hurt right now.
Yeah, Weisblatt, I think you make a good point. Kind of a natural ramp-up period after that Olympic break coming up in about a month, a little under a month until the Olympic break. Preds, 14 games remaining, and 8 of those will be played at Bridgestone Arena. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have questions for Max, you can text or call our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we will wrap up with Max. We will talk about these final three games of the homestand coming up. Preds also a tough back-to-back on the road coming up next week when Max will be on with us on Friday a week from now. And we'll also look at some other news and notes around Smashville. All that coming up. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, wrapping up our first hour. Max Hurs with us for one more segment from Preds Radio, talking all things Smashville. Preds back from their long road trip and a shootout win over the Islanders last night. They'll take on Chicago tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. Max, looking ahead to this weekend, we touched on it a little bit. Blackhawks, Capitals coming up, and then Edmonton on Tuesday. I know you mentioned Connor McDavid's birthday on Tuesday as well. Matthew in Nashville texted in and asked, does Max think there will ever come a time when we are not getting our butts kicked by the Oilers? They have kind of been the kryptonite for the Predators. I know Leon Draisaitl is a Preds killer. Do you think the Preds can hang with the Oilers on Tuesday after this back-to-back?
I was hoping that I would get to recruit Connor McDavid to sign with the Preds as a free agent this summer. And since he signed kind of a little pity deal with the Oilers for two more years, that's not going to happen until 2028. But when he's ready to listen, I'm ready to
You'll
talk.
You'll be there.
Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, look, the guy hates the media. He hates the media and the pressure of that. And we don't have any of that here. So that's my pitch if he's listening. So someone please tell him. But yeah, like the Draisaitl stuff is nuts. He has 28 goals in 30 games against the Preds, 28 goals and 51 points in 30 career games against the Preds. He's already second all time for the most goals anybody has scored against the Preds. He is 11 behind Jerome Iginla for that record.
Wow.
He has played 38 fewer games against the Preds than Iginla did.
It's crazy. I mean, every time the Preds play the Oilers, I feel like you can chalk it up that Draisaitl's going to score. I know the other night it was McDavid who had the hat trick, but, hopefully the Preds, I know they got two more games coming up, but I know that game against the Oilers on Tuesday going to be a big one. And, yeah, you're right. It's McDavid's birthday. You would expect that he's going to want to at least try and put on a show.
Yeah, well, we are countering that with Dirk's Bentley bobblehead night on Tuesday.
There you go.
We'll see if Dirk's gets a shift against McDavid's line.
Yeah, yeah, it cancels out. Dirk's Bentley bobblehead night, Connor McDavid's birthday, all square. You also mentioned the World Juniors. Preds, plenty of prospects participating in the World Juniors last week. Canada and the U.S. didn't quite make it as far as I think you may have hoped. But Brady Martin was out there for Canada, among other Preds prospects. He did get injured, but good to see him out there, and he was definitely a catalyst for Team Canada in the World Juniors.
Yeah, and they were nothing without him. It was interesting to see. I think you saw Brady Martin affect a team of 18- and 19-year-old all-stars the way that you hope to see him affect the Preds, potentially as the captain of the team in the future. He was on the top line with Gavin McKenna, who's going to be a top-five pick this year, was supposed to be the number one pick, might not be anymore. I thought he looked really good in this tournament. So we'll see how that affects his status, but it was Brady Martin, Gavin McKenna, and Michael Hage, who's a Canadiens draft pick who plays for Michigan right now. And they were the top line. Martin was on the top line in the top power play. He was producing, he was agitating, he was getting things going, and he ran into a large Czech young man whose last name was literally Man in the semifinals, and hurt either his shoulder or his collarbone or his arm, and missed the rest of that game. They lost that semifinal game. They did win the bronze medal game without him, but they didn't really have the same juice in the top six without him. So I think you saw the fact that he's the straw that stirs the drink for teams where he's playing well. And you hope that if he can be a pro next year, either making the NHL out of camp and sticking or if they change the rules and he can go to the AHL as a 19-year-old, which is rumored, which I think the Preds would want. You hope that's what he can be as a pro. So I think Martin showed well after he didn't make the team in his draft year last year to come in and be a star. And look, if he's in the AHL or back in juniors next year, he can play in this tournament again as a 19-year-old in January 2027. And I think he would be a candidate to be the captain of that Canada team. And the other interesting thing for Canada was Jack Ivankovic, who the Preds picked in the second round this year, who is the number one goalie in college hockey as an 18-year-old freshman at Michigan, who's the best team right now. He became the number one for Canada, too. He supplanted Carter George, who's a Kings draft pick, who's a year older than him. They ended up kind of giving George the start as a thank you in the bronze medal game, but Ivankovic was the number one and gave him a chance. So he showed really well. He's a guy who the Preds seem to have struck gold on late in the second round in this past draft, even though he was not the first goalie taken in the draft. So that was a big one. And Cam Reed, who was 21st overall this year. Like, these are the way this tournament works. You play in it usually when you're 18 and 19. Some guys like McKenna, who are superstars, will play when they're 17.
Yeah.
If you have 18-year-olds who were not absolute blue chips, which these three guys weren't, like Martin was close, but he was fifth overall in a down draft. Cam Reed was 21st overall this year. He played on the top D pair the entire tournament, and he was steady Eddie, partnered with a Flames prospect named Zane Parekh, who was making headlines throughout the tournament for kind of talking smack about, like, oh, the NHL has no personality. Like, the Flames won't let me show my personality. Like, and honestly, he has a point, but he was the guy making the negative headlines. He was dancing around on the ice. Like, he's a tough guy to play with. And Cam Reed played with him, and like, you never noticed Reed in a good way. So that was really positive for Reed as well, who's the captain of his junior team, the Kitchener Rangers. So the Canada guys played well. Teddy Stiga was a name everybody knows coming into the tournament since he scored the winner last year. He was solid for Team USA. And Riker Lee, 26th overall this year, another guy who's an underager, performed really well for Team USA, scored a big game-tying goal for them late in their quarterfinal game that they ended up losing in overtime. But he showed well, too. He's a freshman at Michigan State. He could be back this year. And they did have a member of the gold medal Sweden team, defenseman Viggo Gustafsson, who didn't really play a ton, but he got the gold. So we got one on the gold. And the other name that we really knew very little about, we've never seen him before, Daniel Nieminen, who was a sixth round pick last year, who wasn't at the draft. He wasn't at rookie camp or training camp this summer. He's a defenseman for Team Finland. And this was actually his second World Juniors. And he played a huge role for them. He's a speedy defensive defenseman. He blocked a lot of shots. He was physical. There was a play late in the game that Riker Lee had tied where he was joining the rush for Finland and he swooped in. And Lee was the one back-checking on him, and he flew right with him. And it was a gratifying moment to be a Preds watcher because it was like, hey, we got speed on both ends of that. So yeah. This guy, Nieminen, I think is interesting. He's someone who I think could be in North America maybe within a couple years. But he's a late-round pick who matters, and he's someone who Team Finland has identified as a winner. And they actually did not end up medaling. They lost the bronze medal game to Canada, but it was good to see him. So hopefully we get to meet him next summer because we've never had him in Nashville.
Yeah, you can see that the Preds have some young talent coming through the pipeline. I know Barry Trotz, I heard him on DVD this week talking about Igor Surin as well over in the KHL, that he is having a great season. Very young, but an up-and-comer as well. So Preds have lots of talent in that prospect pool. We got to see a lot of it on display in World Juniors. Max, big games coming up this weekend, Chicago and Washington. Excited for tomorrow night's game. It is a 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame show. Always fun when the Blackhawks come to town. I think we're going to get a great crowd. And you mentioned this is a Blackhawks team that got off to a really good start this year but have fallen back to earth over the last month or so.
Yeah, and Connor Bedard is out hurt, which obviously is sick swim for them. I don't think there's any chance he returns for their game tonight or the game here tomorrow. But the next three games for the Preds, it's interesting. Sunday is the back end of a back-to-back for the Preds, but the Caps will be rested. The other two games, Blackhawks tomorrow and Oilers Tuesday, the other team will be on the back end of a back-to-back, and the Preds won't be. So see if that plays in the Preds' favor at all. But Sunday is going to be really cool. It is going to be the second time ever that the leading goal scorer in NHL history plays in Nashville. Wayne
Wow.
Gretzky played one game here in the spring of 1999. So Alex Ovechkin will double that, and I'm trying to get some pictures of the great one in Nashville. So we're working on getting the old film out, and we've got our best people in the dark room working on it. But it's always cool to have Ovechkin here at this point in his career. He's a player that everyone, even those who were not fans of his in the early years, have come to appreciate.
Yeah, as somebody who grew up just outside DC, went to plenty of Caps games as a kid, I was at the parade when they won the Cup in 2018. Will be cool to have Alex Ovechkin as the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer playing in Bridgestone Arena on Sunday. Next week, Max, you will be in Colorado for a big back-to-back there. So excited, hopefully, to have you on next week. And hopefully, the Preds can start stacking some more points here at home before that one.
Yeah, I think the Preds only have two games on Fridays all season, Black Friday and next Friday. So, yeah, it's a rare game day hangout for us.
Yes. So excited for that, Max. Always appreciate you coming on. Everybody, make sure to tune in with Max tomorrow, 6 o'clock airtime, right here on 102.5 The Game. Have a good one, Max. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Parker. See you, boys.
Max Herz from Preds Radio joining us for the full first hour. Great stuff on the Preds, as always. Coming up next, Connor Newt going to join us, and we will talk football. College football playoff semifinals won last night. It was a thriller in the Fiesta Bowl. Miami advancing past Ole Miss. We got Indiana and Oregon tonight. We'll also get more into the Titans head coaching search. A couple more names being requested for interviews today. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.